You're listening to Nakai. That's a beautiful piece of music. The man does have some incredible talent. The new Redwire magazine is out, and I just noticed when I was flipping through it about a letter from Leonard Peltier, a brother that's on the inside right now. He got moved again now. August 15th in 2005, he got moved, and it kind of stinks that they didn't even warn anyone, not even his lawyer. They didn't even warn his lawyer about moving him. So this is an open letter from him. On August 15, 2005, I was transferred to USP Lewisburg in Pennsylvania. Life has been extra difficult for me since I was transferred from Leavenworth. This system is designed to make one feel very powerless, and what they're doing to me, with me now is definitely aimed to erode my body and spirit even more. My loved ones and all of you, and my friends and allies who continue to support me, keep me sane and hopeful. They say that that it is in times of crisis that one can really see who you, your real allies are. Those of you who have contacted the Terre Haute Prison and the Bureau of Prisons on my behalf, keep me in your prayers, and are supporting my defense committee, have made an enormous difference in my situation. I humbly thank each and every one of you and firmly believe that your actions most certainly saved my life and prevented me from living in an institution that is well known for its extremely high crime and violence. Also, health problems continue to plague me, and the conditions I was exacerbated them. I know deep within my heart that if there had not been such an outpouring of support, concern, and overall outcry regarding my arbitrary detention, I would have probably stayed in solitary confinement for an indefinite length of time. Or worse, I would not have survived in the general prisoner population. Although I have been forced to endure many hardships, I will never surrender, even if that is left of me. All that is left of me is my spirit. Your love and support inspire me to overcome everything. I hope that here at Lewisburg, I will be able to resume living in the general population, practicing my traditional ways, and continuing with my artwork. My defense team is preparing to go through some major milestones. They need your support more than ever to reestablish our office and prepare for our upcoming reviews and legal battles. Since Russ Redner, Paula Otrowski, and Tony Zeden do not want to accept any salaries or remuneration of any kind, all of your donations will go directly to office transfer and upcoming campaigns. I again want to express my sincere appreciation and tell you once more that without you, I am not sure I could have survived this last month. Every day I think about and pray for a time when I will be among you, shoulder to shoulder, fighting for justice for my people and our Mother Earth. In the spirit of Crazy Horse, Leonard Peltier. And Leonard Peltier, his number is 89637-132. USP Louisburg, U.S. Penitentiary, P.O. Box 1000, Louisburg, Pennsylvania, 17837. And you know what, my brother? I stand with you always, and I look forward to shaking your hand when you get out. Now, Dan's got a couple of more pieces to talk about, and you're going to take it away here?
Yeah. Just wanted to say once again that that was from the Red Wire magazine, which is available online at www.redwiremag.org. That's red, WIREMAG.org. It's put out by the Toronto Native Youth Movement affiliates, I believe. And it's always a really, 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 really solid magazine. If it's available in the area, check it out. If it's not, I think it's worth people's time to set up a distribution in your community, because it is invaluable, really. So we do have just a few more announcements. One is that there's been disturbing news coming from the Anwar Wildlife Refuge in Alaska, which has been under under the threat of oil drilling for the past few years, which is especially perilous since that crazy Texan came in charge of the U.S. You know how they how some people down there love their oil. There's just been a disturbing change in situations there. Throughout the previous years, the Gwich'in Indigenous Peoples, conservation and environmental coalitions, and United States voters have successfully prevented the U.S. Congress from opening up the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, or ANWR, to oil drilling. But the political landscape of the United States has changed. With record highs in gasoline and fossil fuel prices, the oil and energy industry are using fear to push the corporate agenda to open the ANWR to drilling. Oil corporations and their friends in the U.S. Congress continue to try to use the budget process to open ANWR to oil drilling. They have attached a drilling provision to the massive 2006 budget reconciliation package in an effort to limit public debate and circumvent normal congressional procedure. The Senate voted on November 3rd to accept this provision, and the House voted on the 7th. I don't know how that vote went, but these are perilous times. If you live in the United States, it's especially important that you contact your Senate and House of Representatives, of your state, and let them know that you don't want any drilling down there. Even if you're not from the states, there's ways to apply pressure. You can have actions at U.S. consulates. You can call into the White House. You can let them know that all of us are concerned that the Arctic is a very fragile environment that, if drilled up, will not just affect people living in the Arctic, for whom we do have sympathy, but it will change radically the conditions of life in the entire Western Hemisphere, and that life cannot continue if that drilling continues. So do please do what you can to prevent this nasty scarring of the Earth.
One note I wanted to point on that, and the sad thing about that whole the whole wildlife refuge is that it's what I think 20 million barrels of oil. That's the maximum amount that they can get out of there, and they're going to destroy an entire ecosystem. It's really, really sad that the Bush is actually doing this. I can't believe that anyone would just like callously destroy a refuge for a minor amount of oil, considering that there are a great many other areas that they can drill that would not do anywhere near as much damage to the environment.
It really is sick, just the wanton consumption of oil that they have to suck from everywhere. Same with the so-called Alberta tar sands, where they're going through the sand itself and burning the oil out in a very expensive and one of the most disgusting procedures that science has developed so far of extracting oil. And they're going through this process to extract oil in a nasty, nasty way, all for the sake of, all for the limited sake of bottom line budget. You know, like, it's just oil is just being so rapidly consumed here that there's no thought for what happens when it runs out. You know, like, we do need to start thinking about that. Otherwise, there's gonna be, you know, like, crisis that people can't even prepare for. You know, Mad Max times 100.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's gonna be really bad when they finally run out of oil. In a way, I look forward to the day that they run out of oil. Maybe they'll finally wake up and actually decide to work on something different, something a lot more energy effective, a lot more cost effective. But until there's oil, there's gonna be people like Bush, and there's gonna be people like oil companies that are just gonna just kill our planet.
Well, that's just the nature of capitalism, colonialism, right? Just consume, 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 unless, until there's nothing left to consume. And then, you know, like, find something new to chew on.
Yeah, I know. I personally think they're reaching the nub of this particular bone. It's going to be eventually going to just end in this just disaster.
You know, it's going to be in our lifetimes, hey?
Yeah, that's a scary thing, you know. It's like I never wanted to see this in my lifetime. I actually wanted to breathe clean air in my lifetime, but I don't think I'm going to successfully do that.
Nope, just have to save it in a bag or something.
Exactly.
So we just got a couple more news pieces before the time runs out. One's coming from Ghana, where the Kwahu South District Assembly has burned an estimated 100 Fulani homes and killed an unspecified number of cattle in an attempt to flush the herdsmen out of the area, according to the Accra Mail reporter on October 20th. District Chief Executive Nana Kofi Onwono Asante justified the actions to the newspaper by saying that there had been reports that herdsmen were involved in illegal activities, so they didn't specify beyond that. Aggrieved Fulani have already filed appeals seeking an investigation into the incident. One of the Fulani men said that the DCE's claims against their conducts were false, and that if a Fulani man was found guilty of an offense, the best thing to do was to make him face the law, but not, quote, to take the law into their own hands. This comes from allafrica.com. Just to make a quick analogy, is that the same thing happened here in Canada. There are still reports going into the murder of thousands and thousands of slay dogs of the indigenous peoples of the north, effectively threatening a way of life. And this was carried out by the RCMP, Canada's friendly Mounties in red jackets and shiny black boots. And the very final piece of news comes from Australia. Supporters of the of a learning center, an Aboriginal school in Alice Springs, Australia, has vowed to keep fighting to keep the school open. The school serves about 30 Arrernte primary school children, but this week the Northern Territory government announced that it would stop funding the school because it is failing to meet literacy and numeracy benchmarks. Parents say the school is a success, however. A senior Arrernte woman says that the fight to keep the school open will continue. We'll keep fighting, she says. We'll keep fighting and talking. The protesters are demanding a meeting with the education minister, and this comes from the Australian Broadcasting Corporation.
Thanks for the news. That was our feature. It was Nagoset from the Native Women's Shelter. My name is Urkar, and along with Dan, have a good evening.
See you next week, or talk to you next week.
You think I like this? It makes me sick. I never wanted any part of it. This race is always coming apart, it seems. I had a reason, I had a dream.
Someone else is mad now.
There's so much to realize.
Someone else is mad now.
I don't wanna close my eyes.
Someone else is mad now.
I tried to make a change.
Someone